I feel so much better now. All right, y'all. Turn in your Bible to Ecclesiastes. We'll be in Ecclesiastes for tonight. We're going to be in chapter 3. It smells like food in here. Somebody bring... It smells like fried chicken.
No, it does. It's
chicken nuggets. It smells good. I like it. Tonight we're going to talk about afterlife. Living for eternity right now. This is going to be a series that lasts a few weeks. You guys can... All right. If you're hyped up on sugar, please work with me here. If you're not hyped up on sugar, if you're the opposite, please work with me here. Okay? We can give the Lord 1 hour, right? Let's try. Before we get started, I want to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night. I just pray, God, that the words that come out of my mouth, Lord, are ones that honor and glorify the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior, and the Savior of all of those that believe, Lord. We just pray, God, that you would guide us and direct us with wisdom in the teaching that is in your word, Lord, that we keep an eternal perspective on everything that happens in life, Lord. Just pray, God, that you bless this moment, bless this time and this hour that we have here together. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, living for eternity right now. Now, here's the big idea for tonight's lesson, and we're going to do this a couple weeks in a row with some different outlooks on eternity. Eternity, what does eternity mean? What does eternity mean? Forever. A long time, right? Is eternity in this life? No, because this life has endings, right? Has beginnings, middles, and ends. So this life is not eternal. Now, tonight's big idea is that our life is incomplete without Christ. Incomplete without Christ. What do I mean by that? Not whole? There you go. What else? What's another way of saying incomplete? Huh? Not complete. Unfinished. That's a good one. We're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 9. Y'all listen up. Okay? Listen up. I will engage in long, awkward pauses on purpose if we will not listen. Okay? Now, somebody read for me, if you would, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 9 through 15. All right, great job. Great job. All right. We're going to look at this verse by verse just a little bit, okay? I want you guys to look at verse 9 real quick in your Bible. It says hard work. What does everyone gain from hard work? Okay, though another way to translate this would be earthly pursuits. What do we gain from our earthly pursuits? Okay, just name out a few things for me. What do you see in your parents' lives or maybe in your own life if you work really hard and earn money and things like that? What do we get out of those things, earthly pursuits? You get food, shelter, money, cars, children, animals, chicken nuggets, that back there. All right. So are those things eternal? Okay. So what do we really gain? Well, nothing if... Nothing if what? If we don't have a purpose behind it, right? Can a person that doesn't believe in God gain all of those things and feel like maybe they have some purpose? I think they can. Because they're if they feel like if love is the ultimate goal, I'll give you one instance, okay? Can a person that doesn't believe in God have children and love them very deeply? Yeah. God gives them the opportunity to enjoy those things, right? You know that God allows, it's what we call common grace. God allows a person that doesn't believe in him some of the same graces that he would allow a person that does believe in him. So for instance, the smell of chicken nuggets. When I walked over to this side of the room, it actually smelled like KFC to me. So I was like, that smelled good. But do I have to be a believer to enjoy that? No, I don't have to be a believer to enjoy that. But you don't have to keep saying I'm sorry. I'm telling you, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. But so what's the difference? What's the difference in the things that we pursue if we're a believer and a non-believer? What's the difference, the contrast between the two? They don't have salvation. So what does that, what are we talking about here? You see this word here? Okay. What are we pursuing, I guess, is the question. Eternal life. What if your ultimate goals is to love people around you here, to enjoy good things here, but what about after that? That would have been it, right? So the smell of chicken nuggets would have been final for me in my whole life, the whole life that I have now, the good things that I get to enjoy. Having children, if I had my son and I wasn't a believer, would I be able to love him? Right? I would be able to love him. I'd be able to enjoy our relationship we have together, right? But what about beyond this life? What about when I die? If I'm a non-believer, what else is there? Nothing, right? Okay, think about it. What do people really get for all their earthly pursuits? Now, I want you to stay on track with me tonight, okay? Because these are some deep issues to think about. Now, that was neat. Just quit the distractions right now. All right, so turn your phones on silent, please, if you can. Now that we've got it all called out in front of everybody. Phones on silence, please. And not on them. All right, here's what Jesus said about that. Now, I trust what Jesus says. Do you trust what Jesus says? I believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to the Father, right? That's what we talked about last week. He says, for what does it profit a man or a woman if he or she gains the whole world and yet forfeits their soul? Or what shall a person give in return for their soul? So what is he saying here? What's the statement? What's Jesus saying here? State it in a statement form instead of a question. What does it mean to gain the world? Work with me. What does it mean to gain the world? Did you say popular? To be popular? To have power? Famous? Money? Whatever, money, power, fame, fortune, those types of things. So what does it gain you if you get all of that and yet you lose your soul? You go nowhere, right? So there's no profit in this, right? That's the question that Ecclesiastes is getting to. He's getting to the root of the matter. What do we really gain from all of our earthly pursuits? Having families, having work, having jobs, having money, having possessions and relationships. They're all what? They're temporary, right? Temporal. So what do we profit? Now, I want you to think about that word, profit. God made you for so much more than what we see in creation. The Bible says in Romans that God created everything, okay? You are creation. The earth is creation. The things we have and we possess are creation. Your family members, love, emotions are creation. God is the creator. We tend to put ourselves in the position of God to make judgments about his creation or judgments about him or judgments about the things he's made. We are the creation. In Romans 1, it says that though God created all things, we did not glorify him as God, nor give him praise or thanks for the things that he did for us. Therefore, God gave people up to their own depraved minds to do what their own sinful desires willed. He gave us up, those that don't believe in him is what it's talking about. He gave them up to do whatever they wanted to do so that they could create their own standard of living, so that they could create their own society, so that they could create what they define as love and what they define as right and wrong and moral relativism. And whatever you think is right for you is what you can live by as long as you don't hurt me. God then lets people go do what they want to do. He gives you the freedom to do that. God is not going to come over there and make you love him, right? He's not going to come to you and say, you're going to love me no matter what you decide. He doesn't do that, does he? He gives you a choice. Will you, in making that choice, be very careful? Because in making a choice, I don't think we should assume that we can put our position, ourselves in the position where we can be judge of Christians, judge of God, judge of the things he's made. Because we, all of us in here, are on an equal playing field. All of us are creation. He is creator, right? I would never want to worship a God I could figure out completely. If I could know the mind of the Lord, he's no God at all. If I could know all of God's ways and why he lets things happen and why he does what he does, that's no God worth worshiping, is it? Because we are creation and he is on a whole different level than us. Now, verse 11, somebody read, please, verse 11 there in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. Okay. Verse 11, there's a phrase there. You probably have heard me say this before. God has set eternity in the hearts of all people. Okay. Eternity in the hearts of all people. Now, verse 11 shows that God made us all for eternal purposes. That means from birth to death, that is not it. From birth to death, that's not it. But from birth to death, what you do determines what happens after death, right? Now, this world, we can agree, right? This world is fragile. Every structure, every system, everything that's ever been created, everything that's ever been done is fragile. Right? Every government that's risen has what? Fallen. Every building that has been built will eventually what? Fall. Every relationship that you've ever engaged in your life will eventually fall or end or however you would say it, right? So everything that you have in this life is fragile. That means we don't own them. We don't take ownership of those things. We don't even own our own life, our own body. Yet we try to act like we do. So this world is fragile, everything in it. The creation is fragile. The world is broken. We see that, don't we? The world is broken. Even in the best, we find that it is merely incomplete. That's the essence and the thought found in verse 11. God has planted a hole inside of you that this creation cannot fill. After the fall, in Genesis chapter 3, after everything fell, nothing in this world could ever offer you any feeling of full completeness. When we get what we think makes us feel good or feel whole, it doesn't last. So we go and we try to find more or a greater amount or something else, right? And when we go looking for other things to fill us up, we're still left lacking. You might have heard it put this way, that God has created a God-shaped hole inside of you that only he can fill. Now, those that don't believe in him, I believe God created that, but when we become in the place of judge of God, or when we become the place of I'm going to be a skeptic or a critic, we try to fill that with other things, yet we become callous to God. We harden our hearts to the love that he has for us. And so we don't let him fill us with his love. Okay? But the creation cannot fulfill us. Now, here's what C.S. Lewis said. Don't let your happiness depend on something you may lose. Do not let your happiness depend on something that you may well lose. What are we going to end up losing in life? The physical things that we own. We're eventually going to end, right? I mean, they've buried kings, and they've buried all kinds of people in tombs filled with treasures that they can't take with them. So everything that we can gain in this life, everything that we think materially that is going to make us feel good, or even the people that are around us that make us feel good, we eventually will not be able to take them with us. And I know we don't think about that much, because how many of you really think about anything beyond even a week from now? One, two, three. Right? Do we think about tomorrow very, very much, except for the fears and the worries we have? Worried about what we could lose? We're letting it steal our happiness, aren't we? 1 John 2:17, it says in the New Testament, the world is passing away. Is the world passing away? I believe God's word is true. I believe the world is in a state of decay. The second law of thermodynamics states that everything is in a state of decay. The world is passing away, and all the things that people want in the world are passing away. But whoever does what God wants will what? Live forever. All right, look at what Proverbs 23:17 says. This is in the wisdom literature of Scripture. Do not envy sinners in your heart. Who are the sinners? Anyone who what? Doesn't believe. So when the Bible says sinners, it's talking about people that aren't saved. Okay? Don't envy sinners in your heart. Instead, continue to fear the Lord. There is indeed a future, and your hope will never be cut off. Okay, the opposite of wishing that we had what sinners had would be fearing God. Do you know what the beginning of wisdom is? To fear the Lord. An unbeliever doesn't fear the Lord, right? Or maybe doesn't have a proper fear of the Lord. Do we, when we say the fear of the Lord, are we saying that we continually think he's going to hurt us all the time? No, but a proper reverence of the Lord, a proper humility towards the Lord, not a prideful attitude towards him, what the Bible calls a haughty attitude or an angry attitude towards God. We should instead fear him and understand that he is the creator, we are the creation. Eternity in our hearts can mean two things. I'm going somewhere with this, and you guys, if stay with me, because you're going to enjoy this, okay? You probably make fun of me a little bit before the night's over. Now, eternity in our hearts can mean two things. First one is, eternity in your heart can mean a desire to be with God forever. That's mine. I desire to be with God forever. I believe I was created to be in the presence of God whenever I leave this earth. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and therefore I will be with the Lord forever, and that's what I want. That's my heart's desire. When your soul and spirit leave this body, it's going somewhere. It doesn't sleep. It doesn't sit in a grave somewhere where you just stay unconscious forever, for eternity. It goes somewhere. And it goes to either heaven or hell, and that's it. The Bible's very clear about it, and Jesus spoke about hell more than anybody in Scripture. Jesus affirms that there's a hell, and it's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth where the fire is not quenched and the worm never dies. And then the other decision that you can make in that is eternal life or paradise with the Lord forever. And Jesus tells a story about that in Luke, and he talks about the rich man and Lazarus. And you should go in your Bible and read it tonight, because the rich man who had lived in luxury all of his life, that had everything, all of these earthly desires, he was fulfilled in everything he did. And the man named Lazarus was the guy that sat at the rich man's gate, because he tried to go, he was waiting for the garbage to be carried out so he could eat the crumbs and the crust that came out of the house, the stuff that the dogs wouldn't even eat. That's a life that he lived. He was a guy that got trampled on. Nobody cared about him. Nobody even thought about him. Nobody even helped him. And Lazarus lived a miserable life, but he feared the Lord his whole life, and he trusted in God. One day he died, and one day the rich man died. And the Bible says that in this time, there was a great chasm built between heaven and hell. There was a vast hole that you could not cross from one place to the other. But this man the rich man looked across and he saw Lazarus over there in eternal paradise, and he was feeling good. And the rich man was over in the flame. And the Bible says that he called over, "Dear Lord, please just give me a drop of water. I am in anguish over here. Dear Lord, please send somebody to my family to tell them that there is a Savior and that they need to repent from their sins. Dear Lord, please tell them not to come to the eternal flame here because I am in agony." And the response to the rich man was, "They have Moses and the prophets. If they will not listen to the word," hold your Bibles up. Everybody, hold your Bibles up. What did Jesus mean by Moses and the prophets? They have what? The word of God came down through Moses and the prophets. They have this right here. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing a message, and the message is heard about Jesus Christ. That's how you come to eternal salvation. He tells the rich man, if they won't listen to him or them, they won't even believe if someone rises from the dead. Who rose from the dead? Those same people won't even believe that someone would rise from the dead. That was not a parable. That was not a story. That was a true story that Jesus told. Hell is hot. God is good. Forever is a long time. The other one, if you're a believer, first one, a desire to be with God. The second one, if you're a Christian and you're sitting here today and you say, I've heard that message and I believe that message and I've given my life to Jesus Christ, so this message isn't for me. Well, that's too bad, because number two is a desire to help others find this same kind of love. Right? That message is for you, believer. So ask yourself this question. Have you ever looked back on your life and found something that seems so important to you in a moment that now seems really stupid? Anybody have any stories they want to tell? You thought about running away because your brother took a dime from you. I didn't know he had that kind of power over you. What else? Mando? That's right. I was there for that. She got dumped by, and it was Twitter brawl going on between FWB youth group and this dude. And she was pretty upset about it. It's like Satan ruined her whole trip with this whole thing, right? It was over. Now you're happy, right? I'm so glad I didn't. And I was thinking in my mind, she doesn't need to be with him anyway. Oh, Lord. But we think these things that we're going through right now are much bigger than they really are, okay? And I know that's hard to say and hard to take sometimes, because what we're going through seems like it's big, isn't it? Doesn't it? You never know how big the storm really is until you're out on the other end of it. Now, so what about arguments, fears, material items, goals, social drama, right? What about those favorite tennis shoes you wanted, or that game console you wanted so bad? And you played night after night after night, and now it sits on the shelf, and you don't even care about playing it, right? You guys smell what I'm stepping in? It's easy for what is in front of us to seem significantly more important than it really is in the scope of eternity. There is an illustration that Francis Chan used. He's the writer of a book called Crazy Love. And in the book, he talks about how your relationship with God should, to the world, look crazy. That it should not look like something that we would see in the world. Guys, and some of you may have seen me do this before. Is that going to work? Yeah. I pull the whole computer and everything off. This should be a rope, okay? I don't have a rope, and I knew I would have one of these laying around, so I just thought I would use it. This is a mic cable, if you don't know. And this is a piece of metal on the end of the mic cable, see? Now, This mic cable is 20 feet long, but I want you to just work with me here. And the mic cable is an endless cable that runs all the way around the room and around and around and around. An endless cable. This piece of metal right here is a representation of your life. In comparison to the rest of the cable, this is a very big piece of metal. So you were born here where the contact is made, and you die where the end of the metal is. What are we normally wrapped up in? What do we have our mindset on, usually? What are we normally thinking about? This is your life, Toby. Right here, this is your life. Where do you have your mindset? This right here? We ever thinking about this? So, you are 14, give or take, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 years old, right? Even sponsors, 20. So, we're thinking about, when does the last day of school? Look how excited you are about that. Look, this little point right, look, that's the last day of school right there. Does that look cool? Does that look cool? Does that look important? Now, look. You don't get off topic here. This last day of school is right here, right? So what are you going to do this summer? I just nudged it a little bit. That's summertime right here. Where are you going to college? I moved it a little bit. What about vacation? What's your career going to be? So, when are you going to start earning money for retirement? When you start your career. Okay, so how many years do you think you'll be working? You know? 40 years? Okay, let me know. 40 years. All right, go right there. What about then? Retirement. Oh, so you're going to fish and golf and hunt and do all that kind of cool stuff? Yeah. And live off of that money you made back here in the middle? Right? So, what are you focusing on? The world, your life, right? This life right here, your relationships you have with people, which aren't bad things, right? Those are good things. But what about all of this? What about a million years from now? What about 2 million years from now? What about 3.5 billion years from now? We're so worried about how old the earth is. We're so worried about when the universe began. I don't believe there's a God because of what science says. And this is, it started all 3.5 billion and now it's 11 billion years old. And the universe is that old. How could a God create? I think I'm more worried about 11 billion years from now more than I am 11 billion years ago. Hell is hot. God is good. Forever is a long time, isn't it? You ever think about yourself being 11 million years old? No. Now, if you thought that, now if you believed, let me try to reason with you a little bit. If you believe that that was all there was, then there'd be no cable, right? Just a piece of metal. Then what? You think that there's nothing that happens, right? God has set eternity in the hearts of every person. Okay? God has set eternity in the hearts of every person. And I'm not going to argue with people that try to say that they don't think about eternity or that they don't believe there is. I just know, for me, guys, I'm a person that when I was younger, I'm prone to depression. I'm prone to negative thinking. I'm prone to feelings of uselessness and feelings of hopelessness. Atheism to me made me feel like I should kill myself because there was no hope. What's the point of everything that I'm seeing right now? There's so much injustice going on in the world. so much, there's so much bad. And yeah, I have family members and I've got people around me. I love them, but what's the purpose and the point? And I think, I'm not strong enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not rich enough. I'm not fast enough. I'm not cool enough. I'm not anything enough to stand here and say, I don't need a God. I need God. I need God because I'm weak. I'm useless. I'm frail. I'm hopeless without the belief that there's something greater than me, stronger than me, wiser than me, that created me for a good purpose. When I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I fully, once in my life, I fully began to activate my faith and really believe in Him, I have purpose. I had a reason to live. But when I was younger, see, the difference is whenever we're younger, we don't think it's important because we really don't think about deep things. We can really get away with having fun for a while. But that fun goes away. I want to show you guys some things here. I want to show you me when I was younger. Okay? Yeah, I'm sorry. You guys, some of you guys, what you know what I was doing before I got involved in church? I was in a band. Yeah. I want to show you some things, okay? This was 5 to 7 years ago. That wasn't very long ago. Where were you 5 years ago? Right? Does that seem like very long ago once you think back on it? All right. For me, it seems like a long time ago for me. But I thought about this. I was like, this happened in 2010 through 2012, this time period right here. This was only 5 to 7 years ago. I wasn't much younger than I am now, okay? Now look, that's me. Look at that guy. He's all rough. Looks like he's a bum. That was my group of friends I hung out with back then. You see I know, I was really bad about, I had these little high water jeans. I didn't really care about how they looked, but these were my friends back then, okay? I was in a band, and we were in what we would call a Christian band because we were trying to play in church shows because the churches would let us play in their sanctuaries for free, and they wouldn't charge us. But if we played at another venue, they would charge us, and then all the proceeds we got from the shows, which wasn't much, would have to go back to the venue, and then we'd have to try to sell a bunch of merch to make, you know, money off of that. So, but we were starting out, and actually, I have to say, we were pretty good because we were touring with other big bands, and we were opening for a lot of them, but we were going on the right direction, and we started getting a lot of people that were looking at us, but I had some issues with my life. I was aware of what I was talking about a minute ago. I was lacking purpose in my life. Now, what was I pursuing? What is Ecclesiastes saying? Earthly pursuits? What was I pursuing? Fame. Yeah, but we try to say we're doing it for the right reason, though. What of all the bands that you watch? What do they say in their interviews? We just do it because we love the music. No, they're not. They're doing it because they want a job and they want to earn an income and they want to support their family, right? I just do things because I love it. Okay, all right. So this is some pictures. We did some shows. This was one in Arkansas. That was down south in Texas, I think. Okay, this guy that's holding the guitar above his head here, I want you to watch him, okay? He was a good friend of mine. I was the guitarist in the band, and then whenever the vocalist left, I became the lead vocalist, and I let him use my guitar and my cab, and he became the guitarist, and he became the lead guitarist. So he did all the solos and everything. He was really good. It's hard to see this picture, but that's us at a show. We're having fun, but most people didn't get us, right? We played music that a lot of people didn't like, unless you liked post-hardcore music, and that's what we did. So we were like on edge, and we kind of rebelled against other people. Anybody else that said anything about us, we're like, flip the bird and then walk on, right? That's what we did. I'm not kidding. All right? So we did whatever we wanted. That was me and my buddy right there. That's at the end of one of our shows. I'm not going to name names on all of this, but me and him were really close, but And as you see there, we're tight. Now, stuff was starting to happen in my life as all these shows were happening. We were traveling around doing different things, getting a lot of recognition. I was even getting a lot of praise. Like, how can you scream and sing in the same songs and your throat's not, and how do you do all this? And like, and I would start feeling really good about myself, but at the end of every single show, I kid you not, I would go sit in the van by myself instead of talking to people and just sit in the van by myself and just think all the time. All the time. I wasn't a people person. And we were taking pictures, and this was in 2012. This is towards the end. And so we were taking these pictures, we were doing photo shoots, and we were actually in Woodward newspaper, interviewed by people and talking about all the things we were doing, all for God, all this stuff for God, right? But I was in my wit's end right here. If you don't know my testimony very well, I was in suicide mode. That's where I was. I wasn't happy. And look, I was having a pretty good time there. We were having a good time. We were laughing, joking. But the Bible says that even in laughter, the heart may ache and joy may end in grief. So I was thinking, is this all there is? Is this creation, these shows we're doing? I love music. I love everything, you know, that we're doing. But man, it's just not fulfilling me. And that picture pretty much sums it up. What do I look like right there? I was dead. I was bottoming out. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Okay, so this guy here, all of these guys despise me now. Why do you think? I changed my life. I decided to follow the Lord, right? This guy passed away last year. Guys, I don't know where he is. We had talks. Once I started changing my ways, I started telling the guys, we got to really be devoted to God if we're going to say we're a Christian band. Like, we got to change what we're doing. I was struggling through it. I was trying to help them. I mean, I was the guy that, I'm going to go help these guys be better Christians. I'll just stick around with them a little while longer, right? It didn't work. They began to despise me a little bit, right? What are they thinking about? What were they thinking about? What happened last year? He stepped into the portion that is this. I don't know where he is. I don't know the decision he made after we've had different talks. I do know that the rest of the band despised me. Where will you be 5 to 7 years from now? What about your friends? What about your purposes you live for? Do you even know if you have 5 to 7 years from now? He passed away in an oil field accident. They were trying to work jobs on the side and keep it. They had a different band with a different name and a different lead singer and things like that going. And he was working in an oil field job one day and had an accident. And a piece of, I think it was a trailer, had rammed into him and crushed him. Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and your joy, and look, I put quotations there for a reason. Your joy will end in grief. That's if we have our mind set on the creation, not the creator, right? Now, 1 Peter 1:24 and 25 says that people are like grass. Their beauty is like a flower in the field. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord, what? Remains forever. God's word is going to remain forever. That book you held up, I had you hold that book up, that's never going to end. Anything that we try to do outside of that to prove it wrong will end. No matter how, if you spend the rest of your life trying to disprove God, your life will still end. And if you didn't want to be with him here, you definitely won't be with him on the other side. If this world is all there is, I know this sounds kind of like Yoda, but if this world is all there is, incomplete, we will remain. We will just chase all of these different pursuits. The book of Ecclesiastes is so full of things that talk about that. And it says that a chasing after the wind, what does a man gain with all of these things? He's just chasing after the wind. You ever tried to chase the wind? I mean, how ridiculous is that to try to grab the wind? I mean, you look stupid, right? Chasing after the wind. That's what our earthly pursuits are. Everything in this life before we step into eternity is chasing after the wind. What seems so important right now probably doesn't matter as much as we think it does. While life may seem long, it's really short compared to eternity. So what will last forever? God's love. God's love. And God, the reason why I have to preach messages like this is because there are some I know that don't believe. I am convinced of everything that Scripture says about God, everything that Jesus said when he was here. And if you don't believe that Jesus was telling the truth, you either have to believe that Jesus was a maniac because he said, I am the bread of life. If you drink my blood and eat my flesh, you will have eternal life. When we take communion and we talk about that. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father or no man enters in eternal paradise but by me, I believe that's what the truth is. Because if Jesus was lying, Jesus was a maniac. He wasn't just a good person. And that's what people try to believe. I think Jesus was a good person that lived back then. If he was a good person, he wouldn't be saying, you will go to hell if you don't believe that I am he. But if he was telling the truth, the weight of eternity is balancing on his words and his actions. Every religion claims, some claim to a life beyond this one, whether it's a paradise or a second life after this. Where are the founders of all other religions? They're in their grave. Where's the founder? We call him the founder, but where is the founder of Christianity? Where is Jesus? He rose from dead. Have they found his body? No. If anyone claims, holds a claim to something beyond this life, If what we believe is true, that there is something, there has to be something beyond this life. If anyone claims they know the way to get to the place beyond this life, don't you think that they should have conquered that which would keep you from getting there? Let me put it to you this way. If you hold claim to an eternal paradise, you know the way to eternal paradise. Wouldn't you have to know the way to get there? Every other religion's founder is in the grave. So what does that say about their claims about paradise? If their bodies are dead in the grave, what does that say about their hold to paradise? It can't be. That's the difference in our belief, in what Jesus said. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night. I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit and the power that he has in our lives, Lord, and the things that we believe about you, Lord. Lord, I pray that if there are those that are here tonight that don't know you as their Lord and Savior, that have questions about those things, that are maybe in a position of skepticism, those that are not sure, Lord, if that is the way, I pray that the Holy Spirit, God, would just draw them, and it would give us, Lord, as believers, more of a draw to live the way you want us to live, Lord. If we say we believe in who you are and what you've done for us, let us live like that. Give us a fervency to read your word, to pray more often, to seek out others that don't know you. And I pray, God, for your goodness and your grace to us in those things. I just pray, God, that you help this youth group to continue to grow and that those that don't know you may come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and the love that you give us for eternity, Lord. We know that your word says that you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.